name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord was my strength. He brought me forth also in the large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and he is my fortress. Amen. To help and govern those whom have trust in you by fear and love, make us to have that perpetual fear and love that Thy holy name through Jesus Christ may be sanctified, and we pray this in his name, who livest and reignest with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Confessional reading this morning is from Luther's Small Catechism. Can you hear me okay? Okay. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. Now together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The seventh petition, but deliver us from evil. What does this mean? Together, we pray in this
petition, as the Son of all, and our Father in heaven,
morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 12. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast down to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou wilt cover him. That thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be with the reward. Then shalt thou call. And the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting of the forth the finger, and speak of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness will be like noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So far. This morning's epistle, which is the basis for my sermon, Hebrews 4, chapter, verses 1 to 16. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, do enter into a rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if thou shalt enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath chosen from his works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing of the sunder of the soul and the spirit, and of joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eye of him with whom we have to do, with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far the epistle lesson. Reading of the Holy Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Given, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And then he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceive not the beam which is in your own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in your own eye? O you hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall you see clearly. And pull out, you shall see clearly to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye. So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten as Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation.
one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is the place of grace, and is based upon our epistle lesson, and I would like to read two verses from that lesson. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our human feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far, please be seated. Can you hear me okay? Good. I really feel better than I sound. Why is it that nothing works when you're not feeling well? Okay. You would indeed be an unusual person if you've never spent a sleepless night tossing and turning, afraid of something that might happen. Worry goes with the fact that we can't look into the future. We don't know what's going to happen, so we worry. I once discussed a personal worry with a friend of mine who said to me, 100 years from now, it won't matter. And he was right, because all of our worries can seem very heavy, very serious at the time, but 100 years from now, it will not matter. That seems to be a simple solution to every worry. Every worry except one. Have you ever worried about how you and God are getting along? Now, that's a worry that is very important. Because 100 years from now, it is going to make a difference how we get along with God today. Chances are that 100 years from now, every one of us will have left this world and will be living in eternity somewhere. How and where we spend eternity will depend upon our relationship with God in this world at this time. Have you ever worried about your faith? Do you sometimes fear that perhaps your faith is weak and that there is a possibility of losing it? Well, I think that if we take our faith seriously, we're bound to run into some of these worries at some time, because the stronger our faith is, the more viciously Satan will attack it. Maybe if we don't have such worries, we'd better start worrying about our faith. There are many people today who bear the name Christian whose faith is the least of their worries. They take it for granted that somehow everything is going to come out okay, everything's going to be all right. They occasionally attend church simply because they feel obligated to put in an appearance once in a while. Such people had better start worrying. Such people have a lot to worry about. The Apostle Paul points out in this morning's epistle the very danger that does exist. But Paul also points out to the one sure and never failing source of help, where we receive power and strength to endure unto the very end, and that is the Word of God. And through this Word, we can come boldly and confidently to the place of grace, to the throne of God. This morning's epistle reminds us of our ultimate goal in life. For we read, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And what is this rest that Paul is talking about? Well, some might think it means to take it easy, but Paul is not talking about that. He did not have that in mind. He had been talking to the children of Israel and their journey in the wilderness. And through all of their hardships and heartaches, they continually kept their goal in mind. And they were traveling to the land of milk and honey, the promised land. There they would be able to build for themselves a rich life, even though they would have to work at it. They would have to have a day of rest. What Paul is saying is that this rest is to be the goal of the the goal of the Christian life. This rest is to be with God, to be spent with God for all eternity. This rest is for our troubled soul, our troubled conscience. It is that rest that comes with the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal life. The eternal life won for us by Christ on that cross of Calvary and offered to us in the precious gospel. But this rest for now is entirely, for this rest for now is an eternity belongs only to the people of God, that is, to those who are in true and genuine Christian faith. To be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to enter into this rest. We sometimes take it for granted that anyone who holds membership in a Christian church has the necessary faith and trust in Christ as their Savior. But remember that membership, participation in the work of the church is not guaranteed of a living and saving, is not a guarantee of having a living and saving faith. The danger of falling away in unbelief is very real, a very real danger that all of us will face sometime in our life, perhaps many more times. There are many Christians who cling to this rather comfortable belief, knowing as once saved, always saved. Well, this is very comfortable, but it's deadly because it's not true. God's word is full of warnings. Paul warns us in First Corinthians, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he will fall." In your own life, think of those who were confirmed with you. Where are they today? The warning of the sermon on the warning of our sermon text is directed to Christians. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the example of unbelief. Paul also goes on to say, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceit of your sins." And then he asks this question: how shall they escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We can't neglect our salvation, but Almighty God himself has given us the means to keep us strong and steadfast in the true faith. He has given us word and sacrament through which he will keep us from falling. Do we read the word of God often? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith? Can we honestly say that we don't need to study God's word? Are we regular in our Sunday worship or communion attendance or Bible study? These are serious questions. And yes, our salvation has been completed. It is finished. However, we can neglect it, we can throw it away, and we can lose it through our own carelessness, our lack of concern. The tragedy of eternal damnation in hell is real, and it's a possibility for all of us unless we stay strong in the faith. There are those who attend worship only when it's convenient, Holy Communion if they happen to be in church. Let us come boldly with desire to the place of grace, and we will not go away empty-handed. And finally, let me read once again the final verse of our sermon text. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. May God grant this to each of us. Amen." Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Pray for our communicants, but I'm sure there's a prayer that you would like to extend to God's throne of grace. Let's take a moment for our private prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love at the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
rise for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
the true body. Take the presence of the Lord, my Savior Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood.
May this body bless, strengthen, and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Say with you.
faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.